About Trader and Abe. We going back for them?
I don't think so, JB.
Why not?
Because that bastard Straub got him. I saw him surrounded. I don't think they made it. Maybe that was the noise you heard, JB.
Well, right. Current's against us. Lucky to make it here with the raft breaking up under us. Trader will find his own path.
Mildred shook her head.
Christ, I sometimes get so tired of you tough, brave, taciturn men.
What's wrong? We can't go back there. It's his choice.
It isn't that, Ryan. God only knows. I didn't care much for Trader, though I could see the strengths that made him what he was, and the weaknesses that prevented him from ever changing. Now he and Abe are almost certainly dead back there, and you and John just button up the grief and pretend like it somehow hasn't happened. Don't you care?
Of course we care, Millie. You add up the number of friends that Ryan and me have lost in the Deathlands in the last 15 or 20 years, and you'll still be counting this time next month.
Caring for the passing of a friend is a luxury. The price is too high, Mildred.
Bullshit. Posturing macho bullshit.
No, it's not. You think I don't know about grieving? We all do here, every one of us. We've all lost friends, fathers, brothers, mothers, loved ones.
Children.
All of us, Mildred. I read an old book once when we were with Trader. We were holed up in a library. It was called A Time to Mourn. I still remember its name. It said that if you didn't take a couple of weeks to mourn when you lost someone you loved, then it's sort of... I don't know, it's sort of twisted inward. Well, we don't have 2 weeks for everyone who died. It isn't macho bullshit to say that. We'd be grieving all our lives, Mildred.
For a long moment, Mildred glowered at the one-eyed man, the tension between them almost visible.
If that's the way you think it is, Ryan, that's the way it'll always be for you.
Dad?
What is it, Dean?
Getting double cold.
You're right, son. Let's go inside.
The old blacktop up to the entrance level was a tough climb, and everyone was out of breath by the time they reached the massive sect doors. It was hardest for the injured Jack, and he ended up hanging onto Christie's and Mildred's shoulders, his wounded right leg off the ground. They set him down where he sat against a large, wind-washed boulder, the streaks of quartz in it matching his complexion. Christie joined Ryan.
I could use a rest, lover. Probably you and JB do as well. Only you're too manly to admit it.
Ryan had been aware during the climb up the ruined highway that there was fresh blood trickling yet again over his thighs from the arrow wound.
Right. More of that macho bullshit. Dean?
Yeah?
Open her up. You remember the code?
Of course!
The ancient, massive vanadium steel door struggled to open.
We should get some rain. Sky's darkening over to the east. Can't even see the tops of the Sierras now.
Ryan looked, seeing a great squat mass of black cloud winging toward them. The faint lacing of purple-silver lightning warned of a severe chem storm.
It'll be good when we get inside and safe.
Jack was on his feet, hopping toward the redoubt entrance, shrugging off an offer of help from Dean. Doc followed him, with Mildred and JB at his heels. The boys stood by the internal set of controls, waiting impatiently for Christie and his father to join them. Ryan glanced around for a last look at this particularly bleak section of Deathlands. The cloud seemed almost on top of them, and he actually felt the first heavy drops of rain, acid on his skin. It wouldn't have been good to get caught out in it.
Close her up again, boy.
He and Christie entered the shadowy passages of the redoubt. As the sect doors dropped down, everyone could see the rain already bouncing off the blacktop. After the doors had sealed, there could have been the worst chemstorm in history raging outside, but inside the redoubt, it was tomb silent. Ryan shrugged, brushing a few stray spots of the corrosive rain from his sleeve. He saw that JB was wiping the lenses of his spectacles clean, holding them awkwardly in the left hand of his disabled arm. Jack was just behind the armorer, leaning against the dusty concrete wall by the side of the sect doors, his face drawn, his eyes closed. Dean squatted on the floor, with Doc at his side. The old man was struggling for a chipper manner, but Ryan knew him well enough to see that the ghastly crossing on the raft, followed by the grinding ascent to the redoubt, had really taken it out of the old man. Christy was right. There wasn't really much choice. They were all exhausted. If they jumped in the next few minutes, there was no knowing whether they might immediately encounter a hostile combat situation.
Seems to me it makes sense that we hole up here for a couple of days. Anybody disagree?
None here.
Good.
As soon as they left the entrance area, JB went hunting with Mildred and scoured the small living quarters, coming up with a somewhat depleted first aid kit on the top shelf in the pantry.
Now I can do something for all of you with this. Antiseptic cream and fresh gauze and bandages. Clean up all three of the injuries and set all of you on the road back to recovery.
She smiled at her partner.
It might take a day or so longer than Ryan's guesstimate. I'd put it closer to 4 days than two to make sure all of you are really healing.
4 days in here with hot showers and adequate food and clean beds. I guess I could live with that. Dark night, I know I can live with that.
All we need is the proverbial loaf of bread and the jug of wine. We've already got each other.
Mildred took each of the wounded men, one at a time, into the bath facility and did what she could to patch them up properly. Jack, as the most incapacitated, went first. She bent over his bone-white calf, peering at it carefully, using a spatula wrapped in pink gauze to wipe away the crust of blood, wrinkling her nose at the slight odor of decay that filtered from the peppered skin.
I couldn't either see or smell it properly back at Waymansville. Some of the stone splinters seem to still be in there, Jack.
Head wise.
Nobody loves a smartass, Jack. It's fine to be brave, but not if you're also stupid about it.
Huh. Hurts like a bastard. When I move the ankle.
Ligament damage, possibly. Wiggle your toes for me, Jack.
Ah!
That seems all right. Rotate the foot. Now the other way.
Bad.
No, not actually that bad. Now I know what's wrong. I can do something about it. There are a couple of scalpels and probes in this box, as well as some Locan cream. It'll take 4 or 5 minutes to track down the bits of stone, now that I know roughly where they are.
Mildred smiled and patted the 16-year-old on the cheek.
Get ready. This'll hurt you more than it hurts me.
By the third day, Jack was walking much better, able to take all of his weight on the injured right leg. JB was healing fastest. It was just a question of giving the musketball wound a thorough cleaning, then sprinkling in some antibiotic powder and tying on a fresh bandage. Ryan was not doing so well. He lay on his stomach on the tiled floor, while Mildred knelt beside him, poking with a finger at the double arrow wound.
This should be healing better, Ryan.
She sat back on her heels.
The rest here will make all the difference. You've been doing too much running around, keeping both the entrance and exit wounds open and bleeding.
Sorry, ma'am. Sure will try to keep myself quiet while we're inside the redoubt.
Christy came in and leaned against the doorframe.
Not making him holler enough, Mildred.
Just finishing bandaging the invalid.
Christy nodded, her fiery hair tumbling around her perfect face.
You've been telling him he should rest more?
What do you think?
Mildred tied the last neat knot and stood up.
There. All done.
Patting Ryan on the shoulder.
If we move on the day after tomorrow, I can bandage it one more time before the jump. Not doing too badly, though.
Ryan pulled on his shirt and tucked it in.
Thanks a lot, Mildred.
Jack and JB getting along well, Mildred? The boys seem to be moving easier.
Definitely. But John isn't used to being still in one place for 3 long days. It's really getting to him. He field-stripped the Uzi 37 times, and the Smith & Wesson scatter gun 68 times.
By noon on the fourth day, everyone was ready to move. They'd all had enough of the claustrophobic concrete walls of the small redoubt, and the pleasure of hot baths and reasonable food was beginning to wear thin.
Getting cabin fever, Ryan.
Yeah, Jack, I know what you mean. If I see another red-blessed can of Aunt Abby's All-American Avocado in